Mr. Clare.
And I'm Taylor. I have a friend who is a rock collector. Would any of you like to be a rock collector?
Yes.
If I saw a rock lying on the ground, I wouldn't even bother to pick it up. But my friend knows that you can't judge a rock by the outward appearance. A rock that looks like this on the outside may be beautiful on the inside. See, it's all shiny. Pass it around. Have any of you heard of the saying, you can't judge a book by its cover? Do you know what it means? What does it mean?
It means you can't tell somebody by just looking at it.
Right. It doesn't matter how ugly the cover could be. It matters what's inside. It can be an amazing story. It's the same thing what God wanted his people. He didn't care what they looked like on the outside. He wanted everyone to be special and different.
The same thing is true about the way God looks at people. The Bible says that God does not look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. People look at the outside, like how they dress. But God looks at how they act and how they like to pick people and how they like to be friends. Do you judge people by the way they look on the outside? Well, I do. We don't mean to, but sometimes it's just the way it happens. Do you ever make the mistake of judging people by the outside? Let's judge people by the heart, not the outside.
This morning we have a rock for each of you. We got an ugly old rock and painted it up and turned it into something beautiful. We want to give this to you to remind you not to judge people what's on the outside. We want you to remember that's what's on the inside that counts.
Now join me in prayer as we say a prayer. Dear God, we are thankful that you don't judge us by how we look on the outside. Help us look at others the same way you look at them, by the heart. Amen.
Okay, you may take a rock. And who has the other rock?
Wait, Trey.
Good morning. I'll be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And then the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him, for the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from the day forward. Samuel then sat out and went to Ramah.
Good morning. Please bow your heads. Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I haven't had time to eat breakfast this morning. So if it's all right with you, I brought my breakfast with me, which is a can of baked beans. Now, I don't know about you, but I really like this for breakfast. It's really tasty, and it does wonders. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was being rude. Do y'all want some? So what do you think my breakfast really is? Do I really eat baked beans for breakfast? No, I don't, of course. It's a trick. The thing is, you probably saw me take the lid off of a can of Mark baked beans and believed I was eating them. You judge what I was eating by what it said on the label. In the same way, we often judge people. We look at the outside of them, how they dress, the color of their skin, what religion they are. We always tend to look on the outside. But God does not want us to do that. God does not judge people by their outside. He is much more interested in by what's on the inside. And in a book from the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel, he hit the nail right on the head when he said this: "People look at the outside of a person, but God looks at the inside." God doesn't care what clothes you wear. He doesn't care what music you like. He doesn't care how rich or poor you are, but he cares about how you are as a person. He cares for others, that you are kind and you're loving to your friends and your family and your brothers and sisters. That's why God chose David as king. He was basically watching Jesse's sons and observing them and learning the way they think and the way they act and who they are when no one is watching. He has selected one of them to represent him, and that was David. David was the last brother to go before the Lord. In verse 11, Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all your sons you have?" Jesse replied, "They are still the youngest, but he is tending to the sheep." David was judged not only by Samuel, but also his own father. His own father didn't recognize his youngest son's leadership potential. How could a father treat his own son like that and not give him a chance to be king? Jesse didn't think that he was the right one for the king, but God knew he was the right one. In verse 12, it states that David looked ruddy, he was a youth with beautiful eyes, and he was good looking. The Lord said, "There, anoint him, for this is the one." God not only saw David on the outside, but he knew what he was like on the inside. David was no one important, nobody noticed him, but God knew him because God doesn't look at the surface. He saw David in a man after his own heart. What does God see in you this morning? That can be a convicting question, but it can also be so encouraging. David's character showed that he was the right one to become king. David possessed a heart of dependence on God. I want you to notice the comparison of Saul's heart to David's. When it came to be dependence upon the Lord, Saul took matters into his own hands. He thought that he was going to miss a chance for his own glory, so he said this: "Destroy them all, but it will be okay as long as we take some of the best livestock and sacrifice it to him." But listen to David in Psalm 62, verses 6 through 8. "God alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be forsaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart to him, for God is my refuge." There is a dependent man after God's own heart. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a heart that depends upon God? Are you dependent on the Lord in your marriage, with your kids, or are you making this up along as you go? Are you dependent on God to take care of your needs, or do you worry constantly how things are going to work out? Do you really believe what Jesus says to you? That God knows every sparrow that falls from the ground and that you are worth far more than they. That God knows the number of very hairs on our head. Do we really believe that? If we do, then why do we so often depend on ourselves so much? Having a heart of dependence means depending on God no matter what, no matter what the understanding is in the end. Our only source of life is Him. David also had a heart of obedience. Listen to his beautiful expression in Psalms 40, verse 8. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your law is written on my heart. Or Psalms 119, verse 11, where he writes, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. You see, David's desire was to be obedient. His purpose was to find new ways honestly and genuinely to discover God's will and do it. Those that know some of David's life might ask, if he was so obedient, why did he commit terrible sins like adultery? As we said at the beginning of the message, the Bible doesn't gloss over errors. But even in that expression, you see David's sensitivity to his primary desire to obey God. Unlike Saul, who tried to whitewash his sin, David was crushed. He wept and he pleaded. In Psalm 51, it is like barging into a room and unexpectedly finding someone there pouring out their confessions to the Lord for their sins. You feel like you're an intruder. David is pleading for forgiveness, for he is so distraught that he has been disobeyed. He hated his sin because he knew that he hurt God. God's not looking for hearts that are perfect, but hearts that are striving to do his will. David possessed the heart of a servant. In Psalm 89, verse 20, we read where God says, I have found my servant David. I have appointed him by pouring holy oil on him. Servanthood is humility in practice. To be a servant means to perform the menial tasks no matter what they are. To be a servant is to not care who gets the credit. To be a servant, you have just one goal, the success of your superior. David had a heart and God honored him. Do you know what David did after he was told he was going to be king? He went back out and tended the sheep. Is that what you have done? I'm afraid I might have been tempted to catch the first taxi back to Jerusalem to check out my new palace or to have new business cards printed, changing my name to David the Shepherd to David the King. David didn't do that. Lastly, David possessed a heart of integrity. In Psalm chapter 78, verses 70, he states, He chose David his servant from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of the people, and David shepherded them with integrity of heart. You know what integrity is? Integrity is what you are when no one else is looking. Integrity is being away from everybody you know and choosing the right moves to go to. Integrity is doing your job when there is no superior around and doing it right. Integrity is what kind of language you use before you find out that the new guy in your group of friends is a preacher. God knew David as one with a heart of integrity. Would God say the same about you? Character begins with the decision to make the choices in life that honor God, and David's character was just that. Does your attitude honor God? Do your thoughts honor God? Do the things you are watching and listening to honor God? Does your relationship with your family honor God? Character is our part, and the anointing is God's part. Let's be like David and give God something to anoint. There are some lions and bears that need to be slain in this hour, and you are God's choice for the job. In chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, it talks about David and Goliath and how David defeats Goliath. Well, there are Goliaths that are threatening to destroy this generation, but with the anointing of God upon you, consecrated lives, they will come down and we can defeat them. Throughout Scripture, we find God selected men and women for his service that would have not been obvious choices. For instance, Noah was a drunk, Isaac was a liar just like his dad, Elijah was suicidal, Jonah ran from God, and the disciples fell asleep while praying. These are not the kind of people you and I would have expected God to pick out for his purposes. But then Scripture tells us that God does that a lot, and he did it deliberately. In 1 Corinthians, it says that God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and despised things, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God deliberately chooses people that you and I might overlook. David was someone who God chose and Samuel and Jesse overlooked. We can relate to overlooking people because we're often too quick to judge others. We can all admit that we have been guilty of judging people. I'm guilty of judging others. In God's eyes, sin is sin. But what a glorious thing when the Master Jesus takes a life that is scarred with sin and turns it into a masterpiece for him. You are significant. God created you. He sent his only son to die for you. And now he wants to use you in the mighty way if you will, but yield your heart to him. God didn't judge David from the outside, but he looked at the inside. Have you ever thought that when you're judging someone, that you may be judging God? The Holy Spirit is working within our lives and made us who we are. So who are we to judge? We are judging him when it comes to talking about people. God doesn't want us to judge. He wants us to get to know one another and build relationships with strangers. God cares for you. It is he who created us and who wants us to be the best we can possibly be. He cares so much for us that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the Lord for us. He simply wants us to love him. And remember, people look on the outside, but God looks on the inside.
But the Lord looks at the heart. Isn't that something that we can all rejoice in? As Hannah said before, we are all guilty of judging others. Society has created this mask and put it on our faces, which blinds us from seeing what really matters. Instead, we place people in stereotypes based on their expensive cars, their name brand clothing, their thin body and their flawless skin, whatever looks to be the fittest. And if we're not judging people by what they've got, then we're judging them by what they've done. And yet, isn't that the same fear that we have for others? When we went to New York with the youth here, I sat beside a man in the subway. And of course, in New York, there is various types of people walking around. And the man just looked very run down. He was dirty. He was shabby. And he sat right beside me on the subway. And it had been a long day. We had been serving homeless people. And I was just ready to get back to the hotel to sleep. But long story short, the man began to talk to me about God. And it made me remember this verse and that we shouldn't judge people by what they look like because they could be the best person in the world. You could have a man walk into church with shorts on in the wintertime and no shirt, and it could be Jesus. And you could put a label on him and say, who is that guy and why is he here? But yet, it could be Jesus. Not only are we guilty of judging others, but we're also guilty of judging ourselves. As a high school student about to go off to college, I myself worry about people judging me. We all look in the mirror sometimes and wish that we could be a little different, that we could tweak certain things about our faces or our bodies just to please who? God. God loves us as we are because he made us. So as Hannah said, who are we to judge what God made? If we love God so much and want to be so close to him, then what are we worried about? Why are we worried about what this person is wearing or what we're wearing? Why are we going to Walmart making sure that our makeup is perfect? Why? You see, it doesn't matter what color skin you have or what name brand is on the tag of your new shirt or which Mercedes you drive. Your hair doesn't have to be done. Your shoes don't have to be clean. Because on Judgment Day, when God looks at you, he's not going to say, you can't come into heaven because your shirt's too cheap. He's not going to say, your hair's messed up, go fix it, and then maybe you can come in. God looks at our heart, and if we love God and if we are committed to live for him, then why judge? God created us for who we are, and personally, I wouldn't wish for anything more. Please take the hand of the person next to you and let us pray. God, thank you so much for loving us regardless of what we look like. Society has caused us to believe that the outward appearance defines us. Tomorrow when we wake up, or even today when we leave church, help us to remember that this outward appearance does not matter. In the end, all that matters is our heart. And thank you for reminding us of that today. And Lord, help us to remember not to judge the person that we're holding hands with today. Help us to love them and show them that they don't have to judge us and we don't have to judge them. Let us go out into the world, Lord, and show your love by helping people remember that the judgment lies within our hearts. Amen. As we sing hymn number 431.